there's no greater revival chances than what you're going through right here. The Great Commission was given five different times in five different geographical areas by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's pretty important, isn't it?
Yes.
And with so doing, he left us a responsibility. And I've learned this over the years, and you have too, that when somebody gets saved, it's an exciting time. Amen. In fact, the church in Acts chapter 1, when they, at Acts chapter 2, when they were began doing the work of the Lord and soul winning and et cetera, and preaching like Peter did, the Bible said gladness set into the church there. And the reason gladness set in the church is because you can't get used to people getting saved.
Yes, sir.
I mean, when you have on that day Peter preached, they had 3,000 saved. The Bible says about 3,000. God put that in there for Baptist preachers. Because they're always saying, we had about 150 last Sunday, you know. But anyhow, they had about 3,000 saved that day, and then 500, then 5,000, then Jewish priests were saved. And we don't see that today, though, do we? And I think we're probably so far away from the first century church that that's probably the reason. And the soul winning, fruit. Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 15. I just want to start there because that's your verses, and I think it's important we just go there. I will not get everything that you're doing here. I will go over some of this with you this morning. I love the Apostle Paul. I love his ministry. I love studying him. I love the people that became his co-workers. And two of them, I was telling you, preacher, that I'm studying right now a lot about are Timothy and Titus. There's Barnabas, there's others, and so forth, but Timothy and Titus were two young preachers that he put in charge of areas such as Crete and Ephesus and other areas, and to do a work that we're talking about here that your preacher is trying to get all of you on board with and to carry on the same work. Look at John 15, because this is a great chapter. It's the fruit chapter. Somebody said, well, it's not the Holy Spirit fruit. Well, if we live by the fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, the first thing, what's the first thing we're to do there? What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, isn't it? And aren't we supposed to love people?
Yes.
Aren't we supposed to love our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Well, then all that ties into what you're talking about and what you're doing. Look at verse number 1. I am the true vine, my Father's a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. I don't know about you. I'm going to do what God said to do. I don't want to be taken out of the way. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. It may bring forth more fruit. I know you've heard of people trimming their peach trees back and et cetera, so they might grow and produce more fruit. Verse 3, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And I love this next word. It's used a couple of times here. Abide in me and I in you. Now listen carefully. You're not going to get anything done and nothing's going to stick in your Christian life, no matter what subject matter, no matter what doctrine, no matter what challenge is given to you, till you learn to have Christ abiding in you. The word abide means to continue therein. So in other words, our lives are to be lived for Christ and with Christ, what? Every day of our life.
Yes.
And we're supposed to be producing and carrying out this great commission. The great commission's on the board up here. I love what your preacher does. Great commission is three parts. Everybody knows that. Salvation. You got to get people saved before anything else can happen. Amen. And then you got baptism, water baptism by immersion. You know that. That's an outward profession of an inward possession. My preacher likes to use that terminology. And then the follow-up, that's the discipleship. That's pretty much what we're in the lesson material that he's given you today, and we'll get to it in just a minute. Look here, if you will, look at verse number 4 again. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. He likes that word abide there, doesn't he? Watch this, he even gets better here, watch this. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth, what's the next two words?
Much fruit.
That's what your whole theme's about. This is what your fall revival, fall theme's about, is bearing fruit. Now, I'm not going to have a show of hand, but I wonder how many have ever led a precious soul to Christ. Yeah, we got one who's going to do it. There's a lot of you have. Some of you haven't, and nobody's against you but the Lord. The Lord wants you and I to reproduce ourselves. Through him.
Yes.
And we're to do that through this material that you're getting is a lot of doctrinal and practical material on the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul and so forth. You're by the way, I want to say something about your pastor. He is thorough. Okay? I've seen his material. I carried some home with Bible history. The man is thorough. the man's spoken of outside of your area. He's even spoken of in Texas, amen. So you've got a good man of God here, and I think you already know that if you've been here very long. And so be sure you follow him as the Lord would have you to do. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, is cast forth as a branch, is withered, and men gather them. By the way, if you're not a soul winner, you're not concerned about people, your Christian life, your Christian walk will wither.
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, when people get saved in our church, we get excited. Now, why they wait clap their hands when they get baptized, I don't know. I think we ought to, our heart, if we're going to clap our hand, we ought to clap when they get born again. Amen? But we get, us Baptists are kind of weird. So we got the thing wrong. But when people get baptized in a church, it means, to me, it meant they meant what they did. Okay? It really took. And so by faith unto God and by obedience, they follow the Lord and believers' baptism. And people get excited about that. I love it when an old person gets in a baptistry that just that few steps from eternity and they get born again. Amen. I mean, they don't have long to go. That's why we always had a nursing home ministry. By the way, nursing home people need to be ministered to. Nursing home people need to listen. They need to go to know the Lord Jesus Christ because their next step is eternity.
Yes,
and only two places. And you think, I know you know that, heaven and hell. Watch verse 7. This is what it's headed to. If, big two-letter word, if ye abide in me, my word abide in you. You shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified that you bear, what's the next two words? Much fruit. Do you think maybe the Lord is requiring us to be a little bit obedient and faithful? I love the track. I brought it up here on purpose. I love this new track. This is why I hate these preachers that know all about computers and stuff. They do things so pretty. All right? By the way, I told them I wanted to know who them two young people were in it. Yeah, yeah. I'm guilty. I got pictures on the internet, places that think that 20 years ago, and I thought, man, I looked good back then. But this is, listen to me. I've seen tracks for the last 38 years of ministry. I've seen tracks everywhere. This is probably one of the best I've ever seen. And I like the fact that it's twofold. I like the fact that it's usually one way here and then one way here when you go soul winning and leave it. He told you all that. I don't want to get into that. But I just want to tell you that I think this is a wonderful tool that you can use. And so be sure you use it. And by the way, if you're a little bit drawn back from people, hear me well. You got to get over that.
Amen.
You got to get over that. It's amazing. We can go to Walmart and talk to everybody in the store. Y'all do have Walmarts up here. You know, if Walmart don't have it, we don't need it. Amen. But we can go to Walmart and talk to people. We can talk to people on the phone. Amen.
Yes, sir.
But why do we have trouble talking to people about the one who saved us? And if you can't talk a lot, let this do your talking for you.
Amen.
And just go through it and be able to do that. Now, hear me. Paul didn't have tracts back in his day. Okay?
Right.
He had what word of God there was, and that was the law. And what he had written, some others had started to write, if you will, that was trying to be printed. And most of that would just hack here and hack there until it was all put together by the glorious hand of God and the Holy Ghost of God. But he didn't have all that back then. And yet thousands of people got saved. I wonder how that was. It was called confrontation. By the way, confrontational soul winning don't mean you go up and get somebody's face and tell them how bad they are. Confrontation was just telling people.
Yes.
Just sharing with them the love of God and what can happen in their life. Look at your paper in front of you there, and I thank God he passes it out to you and lets you have an opportunity to read it on your own, go back and study it. Notice Acts 15. Go there with me. Acts chapter 15, I'm not probably going to get in. I'll let him do this on with you next time you have him. This is an excellent portrayal of how a church ought to grow. We're in the multiplication business, not in the just the adding business. And you'll see that when he can better explain and have more time to do that. But understand, have y'all been over this yet? You're going to love this. And I'm going to leave that to your preacher because this is exactly the way we operate right here. And by the way, the church will grow a whole lot quicker this way than it ever will this way.
Yes.
Amen? I'm not in numbers business. Are y'all listening? I never was in numbers business. Well, we had 4,000. Well, okay, that's fine and dandy. That's because they gave away food and different things. And I'm not against that. But I'm for the real thing. And if we follow this pattern that your preachers put up here, you're going to have people saved all the time. And you're going to see a church grow, and you're going to have to bust walls, and you're going to have to build. And isn't that what we're all about?
Amen.
Building for the glory of God. I love his first paragraph. Notice what it says. Antioch was the Apostle Paul's home church. Antioch was the church Paul was out of on his first church planting journey. And then him and Barnabas hooked up. You remember the story? All right. But look at Acts chapter 15 now. And look at verse 36. They're beginning their second missionary journey. And the Bible says some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again. Let us go again. That's a good lesson for all of us right there. Somebody said, well, why do we go soul winning all the time? Because we ought to go again and again and again. Amen. And that was our command from God. Go ye into all the world. Let us go again, visit our brethren. There's a key word right there. In every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. In going to visit the brethren, he's going back to what? The churches. He's going back to the local churches that were started because of his ministry and others that were with him. And if not churches, there may be some homes that were, there's ministry going in that Paul's going back with Barnabas to what? To teach them more of the Word of God. To see how they're doing now, how they're coming along, how they're growing in the Lord. What questions they might have. I am for church planting. I really am. I think every church ought to reproduce itself. And by the grace of God, our church has been able to do that where we were. Young men sent out to take those new church plants and build them to the glory of God. Because it's not all about gospel light. It wasn't all about Trinity. It's about getting it seeded all over America. Yes, and by the way, I believe in America first. Amen. I believe in the Great Commission. But I believe in Jerusalem first. Okay, Judea, you know, uttermost part, all that. But I believe in America first. I believe in the country that God's given us, that we've got so much work to do in reaching people, it's unbelievable. And so many churches are not. We've only been in evangelism 5 years, and I kid you not, there are so many churches that call themselves fundamental independent Baptist churches, carry around the King James Bible, they'll have tracts in Iraq, but have no soul winning program. None. Now, if they don't have a bus ministry, that's their business. I believe in a bus ministry. I believe in any kind of thing you can get people in and get them in front of the gospel so they can be saved and be born again. I'm glad somebody did that for me and my wife and Amen. For my family, and all three of my sons are saved and all their kids are saved. And two of them pastor, one's on full-time staff at another independent Baptist church. My first grandchild went off to Commonwealth Baptist College just a couple of months ago and got others coming up that are going. Every bit of that because a church decided to reach out to the Ogden family. And that's what we're all about. It's not about our four no more. It's about how many more we, you and I, can reach Amen. Through the church. Now, you have an opportunity to be a fruit producer just by the fact that you're here today, that you show up to go visiting. Somebody said, well, I can't walk. And again, I always say this to my people. It's amazing how we can walk when we go to Walmart or the grocery store. Amen.
Yes, sir.
And so forth. And we ought to quit making excuses yes. and say, Lord, here am I.
Amen.
And use me. And by the way, that's what Paul told the Lord. And the Lord used him greatly in planting churches, getting people saved. Notice in the middle of this paragraph here. Well, go back. Let's finish the reading here. Notice verse 37. Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. We all remember John Mark, who was on the first missionary journey. Now they're going on the second. Barnabas wants to carry him. We all remember that he did what? He left, didn't he? He quit. And just got a little bit too rough. He didn't like it. There's a lot of speculation on what that could have been, but there was a time of disagreement between John Mark and Paul, and then between Barnabas and Paul. And I know you'll read all of this down through here, but you know what? Some good men of God have disagreed over the years, okay, on practical things. You know, I think we ought to work. I think we ought to be go-getters, if you will. I think Paul, his testimony proved that in 2 Timothy chapter 4 when he said, I fought a good fight, I finished my course. You remember that? He had taught Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, the last part of the chapter, fight the good fight of faith. If we're going to be on the front line, and I believe being on the front line, if we're going to be frontliners for God, there's going to be some things out there we're not going to enjoy a lot. Amen?
Right.
But the Bible does say we're supposed to be carrying our cross. Amen?
Yes,
and making Him first. So, you're going to find where there's some good men of God that don't agree practically, but they have to agree doctrinally. If they don't, then you have to separate yourself completely.
Right.
Following through here, you'll find out later when Paul's in prison and Paul's about to be beheaded there that he sends for John Mark. I think that's just there's so many subject matters there, forgiveness and love, and I'm sure John Mark had come a long way, and he had grown under Barnabas. Barnabas was a man of consolation. He loved people. He was more gentle than Paul was, so people could get along with him probably a whole lot easier than they could Paul, and I'm sure Paul and Barnabas just kind of clashed. But doesn't mean that that was the bad thing, because a lot of good came out of both ministries in that day, all right? But notice the last part of this, verse 37, Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose German name was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas. Good choice, by the way. Boy, if you read the life of Silas, good choice. Timothy, Titus, some of the others that were with Paul, great choices along the way. And a lot of things that were before them are not going to be before us. There were a lot of trials, and I'm talking about physical trials, mental trials, that came before the Apostle Paul. In your notes here, he was stoned, yet he got up. You remember the story there? And he went on about the ministry. There were times where they sought for his life. There were times where Paul spent time in prison. And by the way, while he was in there, and they came out, the jailer and his whole family got saved and got baptized and so forth. Just a great, great example for you and I to live by. But we're not going to have to go through those things. Not like he did. There may be some things. Somebody might slam a door in your face. So what?
Right.
Somebody might take your track and throw it on the ground. So what? If they don't want it and it didn't damage it, pick it up, give it to somebody else. Miss Oddie and one of our ladies was out soul winning one time in East Texas when we started the church there, and it was the Church of Christ deacon, and they went up to visit with him and talk with him, and they handed him one of our church track, and the guy had the audacity standing between the two ladies to take the track, kind of fold it, listening to him, and pick his teeth with it. You know, if I'd have been there, I'd have been like Paul, or maybe like Barnabas. I don't know. I'd have probably reached up and slapped far out of him. But they come back telling me the story. There's a time where one of our ladies went up on a porch to visit with some people. She had a junior girl with her, and there was a dog lying up there, and they walked up, and they know to be careful, and the dog was lying there, dog wagging his tail, laying on the porch. But as soon as she knocked on the door, that dog got up and went nuts and attacked them. And Mrs. Fain turned her back toward the animal and took the junior girl and pulled her in to keep her safe. And that dog bit her in the back a couple of times to where she had to go have stitches, she had to go have shots for the next several weeks, so forth. There's things that do happen out there. But you know what? We reached that family, reached the kids in that family, got them on our bus route. You understand what I'm saying? There's things we're going to go through, but nothing like Paul went through. Nothing like Silas went through. Nothing like some of the apostles went through, no doubt, in that day. Now, in the very first paragraph here of your notes that were handed to you, look down at the very middle, because this is important. We said that Paul was sent out of Antioch, and he came back later to go back out of Antioch for the second missionary journey. But watch this, and this is so interesting. Now, look there where it says, and I'm just picking up in the middle of the verse. It'll be the third, fourth line down at the end of it. From Jew to Gentile, from Peter to Paul, that Jerusalem does not become the greatest church in the New Testament. Now look up here. It never did. It never did. And yet, where was it that Jesus told them to go until they be endued with power from on high? Jerusalem. Where were they at when all them people got saved? Jerusalem. What happened? Look up here. I want to give it to you shortly. Without going into great detail. I can't. I don't have time. Jerusalem gave up on the Great Commission. They didn't plant one church except for the one that Peter came, and that was handed to him by Jesus Christ. They didn't plant one church. They didn't help anybody. A church is going to die without an active outreach program. It just is. I can prove it to you. Your preacher can prove it to you. I won't call names, but I've already told you about church. They're dying. They're dying because they don't care about souls. And by the way, Dr. Hiles, and I'm sure he's mentioned Dr. Hiles over the years, Dr. Hiles wrote a lot of good material. And he wrote on the enemies of soul winning, and one of those was Calvinism. I'm finding Calvinism more in our local Fundamental Independent Baptist Church and more now than ever before. It's an excuse. John Calvin's not Baptist.
Right.
It's an excuse to cut out this. That God knows who he wants to get saved. God already knows who's going to get saved. And he does. That's his omniscience. But God's not going to go down there and pick him up and put him over here and then you go visit him. Are y'all listening to me?
Amen.
God wants us to go after everybody. For God so loved the
world.
I believe that includes everybody, doesn't it?
Yes.
I'm one of those that believe that Saddam Hussein could have had the gospel given to him and somebody was there and given it to him on the back. God could have saved Saddam Hussein. God can save anybody, anywhere, anytime.
Yes.
I'm short on time. That's why I'm throwing this other thing in. I remember knocking on the door of a young man who had hair down to here. Blonde-headed boy. He had been to church Sunday. And maybe even a couple Sundays prior to that. But he come. And I went to the trailer that he lived in. And I knocked on the door. And as soon as he opened the door, I didn't know he'd be there. It was only like on Monday. He said, "Preacher, I've been waiting on you." And I said, "Really?" I thought, "Oh no, here we go." Because it was in a, well, anyways, it was in an area that, you know, there was problems. And he said, "I need to be saved." Are y'all listening? I'm thinking, I didn't have to do anything here. All I had to do, hear me, all I had to do was show up.
Yes, sir.
All I had to do is go.
Amen.
And take, not one this good, but take my old tract. Are y'all listening?
Amen.
In my little New Testament, which I think everybody ought to have.
Amen.
Take a little New Testament. And I went out, and in no time at that coffee table and that couch right there, that boy got born again and got baptized the following services. Amen. Do you understand that God is omniscient? He knows who's going to get saved. He'd have all men to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So there's people out there from door to door. You may go to 100 doors before you find one. But that one will be worth them 100 you went to. By the way, we live in a day today where there's no excuses. Even my mailman today, preacher, my mail lady today, it's amazing to me how lazy we've gotten in this world. She drives from door to door in that little old bitty mail truck to get out. I remember the mailman just used to go around the entire neighborhood and hope their truck was there when they got back. I'm serious. We've become a lazy nation. How many believe you're blessed of God this morning? Just say amen.
Amen.
Shouldn't we bless him back?
Amen.
You know, he's never really asked us to do a whole lot, but to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I preached that last time I was here. And if we do that, by the way, that's the thing that Peter had to settle. He had to settle that love question, John 21. Remember that? And the Lord said, "All right, here's the keys to the church. It's yours now." And I always say, how'd that turn out? 3,000 people got saved. First time he ever preached. I've been preaching for over 38 years, and I ain't never had 3,000 total saved that I know of, unless they're extended in different ministries. Amen? All right. Notice here, if you will. Talking about Antioch. He was sent out from Antioch. Talking about Jerusalem. Jerusalem died. If you study 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9 and even Philippians chapter 4, look up here, you're going to find out they sent money back to the Christians in Jerusalem. I mean, that's a big church. They big number. I don't know about you. There wasn't but 120 in that upper room that night they prayed. But after that first message and that first church service, there were 3,000. They had to get baptized. Then there were 5,000. I don't know how they did it. I have no idea, but they did it.
Yes.
And the thing about it is that it started out as a gospel sending, soul winning. I mean, the main people were there. Peter and the others were all there.
Yes.
But it died. And it died to a point where Paul is out now raising money to try and help those Christian people back over there. How do you do that? Planting new churches.
Yes.
How do you do that? Winning more people to Christ. How do you do that? Finding young men that could serve in ministry capacity and using them to be there when he wasn't. He left some pretty good people behind. Do you ever think about that? I don't have time to go through that list. Maybe if I preach that message this week, I'll show you that list of people he had with him. We always think about Timothy and Titus and Silas and Barnabas and John Mark. But there's a whole lot of other people that were there. I remember a couple homes he went into. And in them homes, he presented the gospel. And they used their home to start a local church in it. It's an amazing, amazing thing. Since I was here last at the church, I see new faces. I don't know if you've been born again since you've been here, or you were born again and you got here. It really doesn't matter, but now you're here, and you're part of a great church. You're part of a man who is systematic. You're part of a man who is thorough, like I said. And I love him for that. I appreciate him for that. You have to be. Now, I'm not being real thorough this morning, kind of throwing everything out there, but it goes along with what you're doing here. It goes along with what you're doing. I like the fact that it is presented that they went back to Antioch. That's where Paul and Silas were sent out of, or Paul and Barnabas sent out of. But they went back. Why? To report to their church. Report to their sending church. To get new prayer and new sending orders, if you will. And then they went back out, and that's where they are now. They're checking on the churches, seeing how they're doing, what they're doing, where are they at. They're checking on individuals and checking on the pastors that were left in that area. And that's what we as Fundamental Baptists do. We hold people accountable. If you send somebody out of your church to start a church, they're your responsibility. But they are to report to you, and you check on them. That's the way it works.
Yes, sir.
All right? And by the way, that's here, that's on the foreign field. It doesn't matter. They're accountable to their local church.
Yes, sir.
And that's what Paul and at this time, Silas were doing, and they were sent out from there to carry on the work of God. Look at Acts chapter 14. I love this because it just kind of nails down a little bit about what we're talking about. Acts chapter 14, verse 26, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed. There it is. All God had done with them. I always like reading the Bible and being purposeful about doing it. And I love the fact it didn't say that they rehearsed all that they did, but that what God had done with them. Amen. And how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode a long time. Then you can read chapter 15 and how they were sent out from the church there. You know, Paul and Barnabas had a great deal of consternation between one another and disagreement. But it's amazing to me that they stayed brothers in the Lord. It's amazing to me that God took that young man, Paul, and that young man, Barnabas, and used them in two separate ministries. You know what happened there? God didn't cause it to happen, okay? But it happened. Maybe God allowed it to happen for this reason. Barnabas going out with John Mark, Paul going out with Silas, got a whole lot more work done. Are you listening? They got a whole lot more work done. And you know what? When you have visitation, soul winning, whatever you want to call it, outreach, I have people that don't want to use the word soul winning or whatever, and I say, I don't care what you call it, just go.
Amen.
Go out and tell people about Christ. Go out and tell people about your good church where they can hear the man of God who takes the word of God and breaks it down on your level where you can learn it and you can know it, takes the word of God, the Bible, and goes through it with you pretty much step by step. That's the kind of church I'd want to be a part of. And I'm sure it's what you're here for, you know, because the man is doing a great job in what he's doing. Things I've read from him is amazing. His Bible history is unbelievable. It ought to be in every Bible college that our young men and young ladies go to. But anyway, that's another story. I'm glad today that I'm a part of the Great Commission. I'm glad God allowed us in our local church to learn about the Great Commission. My preacher taught me several things. He taught me how to love people. He taught me faith. Taught me about faith. Taught me about finding all kinds of things. But he taught me the Great Commission. Faith, promise. A lot of people do it different ways. But he taught me about faith, promise, missions. I took that to the church in Wills Point that we started in 1983. And we started out of that church, three different churches. One in Rexburg, Idaho. One in Terrell, Texas. The other one went blank. But anyhow, three out of there. When I came to Lakeland in Fort Worth, had a young man that we wanted to start church, and had a young man that was called. He's gone out, and he has started two churches. And you say, well, are you just bragging? I am. Because that's what our churches are supposed to be doing.
Yes, sir.
Supposed to be reproducing. And I believe in the multiplication factor. And that's what's happening with these churches out there. And by the way, all of that is fruit to your account. If you read Philippians chapter 4, in fact, go over there. Let's look at it together. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, look down at verse number, we'll just start with verse 13 just because it's a good verse. The Bible said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. How many believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. There has to be support. They supported him over and over, financially, prayerfully, etc. Verse 15, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church, now this is unbelievable, but no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. You know, our missionaries think they have a rough time today. Paul had a pretty rough time there. Nobody wanted to help him. Nobody wanted to communicate. By the way, that's why he stayed busy as a tent maker.
Amen.
Yeah. On the side, amen. Yes. Look at verse 60. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, watch it, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Every bit of work those churches I just talked about are doing, that's fruit to my account. And not only to my account, but every one of my people in their church that gave to missions, gave to the Great Commission, gave to the outreach, gave to the men and their families that went to start the work, every bit of that is fruit to our account. You say, what fruit? Well, you won't know all about it until you get there to that thing called the judgment seat of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know about you, but I don't want to stand up there empty-handed. I don't want to stand up there with the blood of souls on my hands. I want to stand up there and say, what I get? Amen. What's coming? Because God's going to reward us. I believe He's going to reward most of us. If you take this the way I'm kind of giving it to you, I think it's going to be all about souls. There's a lot of other things we do, but it's going to be all about souls. Every one of you knows somebody's lost. And if you cannot get to them, or you can't find yourself confronting them, get somebody you know is not afraid of the devil himself. Your preacher. Somebody. So that you may not be able to at first. First time I ever went soul winning. Sorry, preacher. Just kind of rattling here. First time I ever went. My preacher told me, now you're the quiet man. You're the silent guy. Okay? So he gets up and knocks on that door. And somebody comes to the door and he starts talking. Guess what I started doing? Talking. He put his hand back like this. Well, I knew what he meant. Shut up. But you know what I learned? It wasn't so hard after all.
Yes,
you know who was my helper? My pastor. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 Got chills just then. I'll never forget that day. And after that, I went up, and I tell people, you're a silent person. And you know how many of them people spoke up after that? Same way I did. And by the way, that's where you find your soul winners. Is the ones who do speak up.
Amen.
Amen. So if you go out and preach, he says, now you're the silent person. And you speak up, he won't hurt you. He'll just kind of go like this probably. And then teach you. There is a reason for a silent partner.
Yes.
All right? Because when you're up there knocking the door and somebody comes to the door and he's handing them this and you're with him, thing you could do without even closing your eyes. By the way, you don't have to close your eyes to pray. You do know that.
Right.
So what you can do while he's doing that, you're just, Lord, not out loud, please. But you can be praying that God do something in that man's heart and give that preacher the exact words to say. That's as much a part of soul winning as anything.
Yes,
amen.
Yes,
amen. Well, preacher, I probably butchered that. But now listen to me. We're done. I got to get in there. You got to get in the record. But listen to me. I wrote this down this morning. Several reasons for the Great Commission. Several reasons for the Great Commission. Number one, it was done by our Savior. He is our supreme example. Amen? Just right out beside that, 1 Peter 2:21, because He is our example. He is our premier example, if we will. It was done by our Savior. These are simple, but these are so true. Number two, it was done by the apostles and disciples that our Savior trained. The Bible said He sent them forth two by two. He said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. We all know these simple, what I call elementary verses, but then again, there ain't anything elementary in Scripture. But it was done by the apostles and disciples. I'm just telling you, this is how God did it. All right? Number three, it is still the greatest need of our present generation.
Amen.
You look around you today and you have to be totally ignorant or blind or don't care or whatever to the fact that our world's worse off than it's ever been.
Yes.
And nothing's going to change it without people getting born again.
That's right.
Receiving Christ. There are several preachers that are being flown in every single week to sit down with President Trump.
Amen.
Fundamental Baptist preachers and others. I know who they are. They're being flown in. You say, well, I don't ever hear about that. Well, who's going to talk about Jesus, you know?
Right.
If you did, then you'd have the other networks tearing it all to pieces.
Right.
I'm glad it's kind of quiet. Because you get these preachers in there. And I'm sure he's got Pentecostals that come. I don't care who he has. If anybody's got a Bible and going to talk about God and going to talk about Jesus, I'm for it.
Amen.
I'm a doctrinal guy. I'm not talking about going to their churches. But anybody come in there and sit down with the president and say, Prez, you need to be doing this. You need to be doing that. This is what we need to do. And pray with him. And he accepts it. I think that's a good thing. It's still the greatest need of our generation. Number four, it builds every department of your church. Soul winning builds every department of your church. Every one. No matter what department it is. Because we go after people. We go after men and women and boys and girls. Or we go after a husband, a father, and he brings his family. Every department is affected. Number five, it reaches those who would not and cannot be reached otherwise. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, nobody else. The Mormons are going out there full blast. The ideologies of today of ISIS and Al-Qaeda and other things, they're permeating our society. Whether you want to face up to it or not, they are. And the only thing that's going to change that or bombard that's going to be the gospel.
Yes, amen.
Would to God, we had 70,000 Jehovah's Witnesses in Texas Stadium here a while back, last year. 70,000. You couldn't get 70,000 Baptists together for anything. And that's sad. We can't even get together on local fellowships around our cities anymore. And that's the truth. We used to have them all the time, and there's still some, thank God, but not like it used to be. Number six, it brings us into close relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It just brings us close. I like what the Bible says that in Jesus' relationship to Him, that He did all things that pleased the Father. That's what we ought to be doing. Number eight, it brings us into close touch with lost souls every day.
Yes.
Number nine, it brings the greatest joy and rewards to the Christian life, both now and later. It brings the greatest rewards, greatest joy and greatest rewards to the Christian life, both now and later. And then lastly, number 10, it was commanded.
Yes.
It was commanded.